The scripture reading for this morning will be taken from John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you.
Morning. Grateful for your presence. We're going to be looking at this section of Scripture today as we study from the book of John. And I think it's important as we think about this whole concept of being a friend of Jesus to think about the implications of that and what that means for each and every one of us as we live each day. Back in 1922, Johnson Oatman wrote the song that we often sing, "I'll Be a Friend to Jesus." And in the refrain, the chorus of that song, here's what we sing over and over again. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for Him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. He relates in the chorus there the idea of the life that we live is spent being a friend to Jesus. It does actually imply certain things about our living. And it's something that does, if we're going to be a friend to Jesus, have to continue every day, every week, every month, throughout the course of our lives together. We show ourselves a friend to Jesus because consider what He's done for us. Consider His statement about how much we mean to Him by what He did for each and every one of us. Think about the Proverbs pertaining to friends. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times. It says there in the first part of that verse. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Expectations, in other words, go hand in hand with the idea of being a friend. If you're going to be a friend to somebody, implies certain things come from you, from your side. And then we have Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. The words that Jesus spoke there, which we just read in John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15, bring forth to us some important points relating to our own friendship to Christ. You know, you talk about having your friends, right? We've got our friends, we have our acquaintances, but friends rise to a higher level than just acquaintances, and good friends, best friends, even higher than that, right? But the one who gave himself for us has told us how to be, to him, a friend. And he shows us what that means to be a true friend of Jesus. Not to just sing the song, but to live the life. Because truly, when you are a friend to Jesus, every day your song, your life is like a song to the Lord. It demonstrates, it says, declares to the Lord your true friendship to Him. We value our friendships because they are so precious. If you look up the definition of the word friend, a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. Now, when you think about the Lord, do we have friendship with Christ? Is there a bond of mutual affection? There's no question what He has for us. What we say concerning our relationship with Jesus is no doubt often very high in that regard, but we need to make sure that our lives support that by our day-to-day living, that we are friends of Jesus. Let's look at this morning three things that relate to this passage of Scripture in John 15, verses 13 through 15. We're going to look at, first of all, proof of Jesus' friendship. The second thing we'll be looking at is proof of our friendship to Jesus. And then the final point we're going to discuss this morning, we'll look at the blessings of Jesus' friendship. The blessings of Jesus' friendship. How do we know that the Lord is a friend to us? We don't have to think very long and hard, do we, if we are those who are familiar at all with the Bible, because we know what Jesus did. There, when we read in John chapter 15, the very first verse that we're looking at, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus is saying, this is what I've done for you. And he's saying, this is what you need to be willing to do for me, for one another. This is the level of friendship. This is what the Lord is calling us to. This is what he has done. Our Savior left heaven. Our Savior served in this world, lived a life of service. He then ended his life by giving it as a sacrifice for us. He served us. In 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 18 down through verse 20, we're told, knowing that you were not redeemed, we as Christians, with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Does Jesus consider us friends? Is he a friend to us? His blood poured out for us. That's friendship. That's love. He did that because not a single one of us here this morning, not a single person on the face of this earth, is he willing to let perish. He desires that all be saved. So he lays down his life willingly. He has shown himself to be a friend. Jesus was not forced against his will. Do you remember in John 10 what Jesus said in verse 17 and 18? Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. So he gave it. He gave it. And then it says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus went to the cross willingly. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers, had no power over him. The individuals who nailed him to that cross didn't have power over him to make that happen against his will. He gave himself for us. He willingly suffered the horror of crucifixion. How much would we, think about it, be willing to sacrifice for our enemies? How much would you be willing to sacrifice for an enemy? And yet we read in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, all of the people that hated Jesus, that despised him, the people that were shouting out, crucify him, crucify him, these people, Jesus was dying for them. He cared for them, even though they hated him. The religious leaders that were behind his crucifixion, his death was a means by which he can reach hearts. You know, even some of the most devoutly loyal individuals to their false religions can have their hearts softened by what Jesus Christ has done for us and his demonstration of friendship, of love for us. He gave his life. He shed his blood. He willingly did that. The man who persecuted the church in the first century, Saul of Tarsus, had his eyes opened and became a faithful, devout servant of the Lord, even though he was involved in the deaths of Christians. And yet, we can today, in a like manner, in the same fashion, look to the one who has done this and give our lives to him, as did the Apostle Paul, and every day serve him because of what he's done for us. We have to follow Jesus' example of friendship. He has indeed given all to prove to us how much we mean to him. And the Apostle Paul, as he went forth having become a recipient of the love and the friendship of Christ, sought to extend that on behalf of Christ to the world. He spread the gospel. He went back and checked on the churches and the brethren that he had attained through his efforts because of his love. He was willing to suffer horrible treatment. He was even stoned. Miraculously, he was able to get up and walk right back into the city. But he didn't stop. He kept going and going and going because of what he had received from the Lord. The proof of Jesus' friendship is insurmountable. It's unquestionable how much he has loved us. But what is the second thing this morning then? What is the proof of our friendship to Jesus? Now we say and we sing that we love him, that he is our friend. And we would believe that in our own hearts. But we have to remember that our lives are the true demonstration of whether or not that is true. Because you remember here what Jesus says in John 15 verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Do we desire to show ourselves friends of Jesus Christ, to actually demonstrate to him, Lord, you truly are my friend? We think of him in many ways. He's our Savior. He's our King. But think about the privilege of being able to say, in truth, the Lord is my friend. We are friends of Christ. The Lord invites us to say that. He wants us to be able to say that. But in order for that to be true, we see here what is necessary. You know, Abraham did exactly what Jesus describes here. Abraham did whatever God commanded. Whatever God commanded. When we read those words, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you, we'd say, yeah, sure, Lord. But the Lord sometimes asks of us difficult things. Do you remember what he asked Abraham to do? In James 2, verse 21, beginning, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So here is Abraham. How is he a friend of God? How is that truth demonstrated? By what he did. By the fact that he did whatever God commanded. Imagine the command. Take your child and offer your child as a sacrifice to God. What does that mean? That means you kill your child and then you burn your child. Abraham was willing to do that. Abraham got up early in the morning to proceed with that journey. And he went to the exact location he was supposed to go to. And he was there taking his son along with him. And his son even asked him, Father, we have everything we need except the sacrifice. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham knows it's you. But Abraham says the Lord's going to provide. His faith led him to obey, and he is called the friend of God. You know, the scriptures teach about Jesus and his work, and we see during the course of his ministry, there were times, like John chapter 6, that people turned away from Jesus. There were some, what we call, hard sayings of Jesus, difficult things that he asks us to do. If we are his friends, we will do whatever he commands us, including the very, very difficult things. That's true of every aspect of our lives and our work. There are difficult things we have to do as parents. There are difficult things we have to do as workers, as fellow Christians, as elders, as deacons, as preachers. There are hard tasks to do. But we have to do them if we're going to be faithful, if we're going to be true friends of the Lord. But you see, Jesus has shown us how to do that in the life that he lived. Whatever his Father commanded is precisely what he did, even the laying down of his life. That's how much he shows us we are his friends. Someone once said, to a friend's house, the road is never long. Jesus, being our friend, has, yes, given us a challenging life to live as Christians, but he has shown us what awaits us. He tells us of the heavenly home that we will inherit. He tells us, furthermore, that though we have a difficult work to do, Matthew 28, right before he left, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We're not alone. He will be helping us along the way. That's a friend. The Lord we cannot see, but the Lord is with us. His providential care, I imagine each one of you as children of God can look back in times of your life and think about, you're thankful for God's care and his providential workings. Because the Lord, he demonstrates his love time and again for us. And we then must, to be his friends, as he says, do whatever he commands. We know that the humble are also God's friends. Think about Exodus 33 and verse 11. We're told, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That's not a very common thing that God would talk face to face to somebody. That's what it says God did with Moses. Directly to him he speaks. What kind of man was Moses that he should have such honor? In Numbers 12 verse 3, we're told, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who are on the face of the earth. The friends of Jesus are going to be humble people because it takes a humble person to be able to lower themselves and to walk with the Lord. Because when you're walking with the Lord, that means you have to acknowledge all along the way, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done, because we as human beings are filled with sin. You know, we stumble at times. We strive not to walk in the path of sin, but even as we are walking in the light with him, we will succumb to temptation. We will yield. We will fall off of the road that we're supposed to be traveling. But the Lord is patient with us. He's merciful and he's helpful to us. But the humility of heart that we need, like Moses had, enables us to acknowledge when we've done wrong, to resume the walk with him, and to be with him one day forevermore because of that. We prove our friendship to the Lord by separating ourselves from worldly ways. Think of James 4, verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses. He says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So I want to be a friend of Christ? Absolutely. Well, I can't be a friend of the world at the same time. I can't be a worldly-minded person, in other words, participating in and walking in the ways of sin. Can't do that. It doesn't mean that we don't have friends of people who are in the world. We're trying to reach these people with the gospel, bring them to Christ. And yet we also know the warning in Scripture in Proverbs 12 and verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. In other words, you're not trying to make your best of friends the people who are living the worst of lives, but you do try to reach those people with the gospel. But you know the power of influence, and so you're very careful. But in terms of our own living, as friends of the Lord, we see that we cannot be, as Jesus says through James in James 4:4, we cannot be friends of the world or we become enemies of God. And of course, we prove our friendship to Jesus in the relationships in our lives. Because here's something to think about. There will be times when we're going to have to choose between being a friend of Jesus and a friend of some person, in that our loyalty and our following is either going to be doing what the Lord says, or it's going to be going along with our friends and family. We cannot forsake the Lord to preserve earthly relationships. Our relationship with him has to be number one. Our love for him must be supreme. Listen to Deuteronomy 13, verses 6 through 8. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul secretly entices you, saying, "Let us go and serve other gods," which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. You see what he's saying here? The closest person in your life, if they try to go some separate road and encourage you to go along with him, what do? You don't go along with them. You don't go along with them. And what's really scary is if you read on in that same text, he says, yours is the first hand to take the stone, and that person is to be stoned. Wow. Your friendship with God, your love and loyalty for God has to be first and foremost. No relationship on earth is greater than the relationship that we have with our God and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew 10, beginning in verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. We must love the Lord. We must be friends of the Lord above all others, because he is our Lord, our Master, our Savior. He is our friend. He is God. Psalm 41, verse 9 reminds us what Jesus went through. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Jesus had his own, and this, of course, speaks of Judas, who betrayed Jesus, turned against him. You know, there will be times in life when we will stumble and we will fail our friend, the Lord. Peter did this. Peter denied the Lord three times, not long after the Lord told him that this was going to happen. But Peter was fearful. He was fearful of his life, and he was afraid of what might happen to him. Look at what's happening to the Lord. And so he denies knowing the Lord three times, and then the Lord looks at him, the rooster crows, and Peter remembers. Peter, there on that occasion, that wasn't being a friend to the Lord, because he didn't do what the Lord would have expected him to do and what Peter knew he should have done: been strong and faithful, stand and not falter. But Peter, you see, was truly a friend of Jesus, because all friends can sometimes fail you except the Lord, and we will sometimes fail one another. But what we need to remember is that we can get back on track. Peter did. And later Peter, as we read in the book of Acts with the other apostles, faced situations when their lives were in jeopardy. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And they refused to comply. They refused to stop preaching the name of Christ. But they suffered. They were willing to suffer that they might show themselves to be true friends of the Lord. The final thing that we notice this morning is the blessings of Jesus' friendship. There are many blessings that come from being a friend of Christ. One is the blessing of knowledge. If you look there back at our text, John 15, verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus says, I'm going to show you you're my friends. And you can know that you're my friends because I've told you everything that the family knows. You're part of the family. You know what the Father has told me. I'm telling it to you. You know everything now about how to live, about how to inherit salvation, about how to fight successful battles along with the Lord against the devil and all of those who stand with him. He has shown us the path. Here is the Word of God that we have that guides us to his side, to where we can be with our friend forever in heaven. We have the blessing of security as a result of Jesus' friendship. The friends of Jesus don't have anything to be afraid of. If you're a friend of the Lord, you are safe. No one can touch you. Well, they can touch the body. And they certainly did in the first century. But you see, the body doesn't last forever anyway. How many people even make it 100 years? Not many. But eternity is what the friends of Jesus have. Forever with their Savior. Jesus told his followers in Luke 12 and verse 4, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." He's telling them these words because this was going to happen to many of them. Many of them would perish at the hands of their enemies. But the Lord says, don't need to worry about that. You're my friends. He's going to preserve the souls of all who walk with him. And remember again, we're friends of Jesus when we do whatever he has commanded of us. That's going to be very hard at times. But remembering his friendship, remembering his love, remembering the blessings that he has in store for us, we can be friends of Jesus. Jesus in Mark 8, beginning in verse 31, says, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." What do we have here? This is one more blessing that we have because of Jesus' friendship, the blessing of correction. If you have friends, are you going to tell them when there's something that endangers them? If you're a friend, you will. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He will tell us when he rebukes Peter here. What does the word Satan mean? Adversary. Peter had set himself up as an adversary of Christ, encouraging the Lord not to die. No, these things won't happen to you, Lord. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Sometimes your friends have to rebuke you. Sometimes your friend has to correct you. They have to point out sin in your life. Why? Because they care about you. Because they're friends of Jesus who told them that's what they have to do. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. "If one of you stumbles in the sin, those of you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." This is what is our obligation, our responsibility, a part of our love. Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6 remind us of the care of our God. How much does he care? "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." The Lord, because he loves us, chastens us. The Apostle Paul, do you remember the occasion? He chastened, he rebuked a fellow apostle. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 and following. When Peter had sinned, Paul corrected that, and that was even in front of the people who were all there, because the sin was openly committed. That's caring. That's daring to do what is right. That's following the Lord's teaching. We need to make sure our minds think along those proper ways. If something like that were to happen today, we might think, how terrible of that guy to do that. Here was a friend, a loving brother, who corrected his brother. Had to be done publicly because many others had been affected and they had gone along with that sin. But you see, this is what friends do. This is what the Lord does toward us. And we must show ourselves true friends to Jesus, to the world, and to our brethren. Our Lord has unquestionably shown himself a friend to us. The proof of Jesus' friendship, that's what we notice first of all, is clear. And the proof of our friendship to Jesus is evident in how we live our lives. We do whatever he commands us. And the blessings that we enjoy, the knowledge of his will, the security that we have in him, even the correction that we receive, are all coming from one who wants to be with us forever. If you're not a friend of Christ today, that can all be changed. And of course, to be a friend of Christ means you're following Him. And that begins with faith in Jesus Christ, believing that He's the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world, and being willing to do all that He commands. He has also commanded us to repent of our sins, to turn away from a life of following self and our own desires, and instead to do always what He commands. We have to confess our faith in Jesus Christ as well, that He is the Son of God, and then be baptized so that our sins can be washed away. That's a command of the Lord, and without baptism, there can be no salvation. If you need to do these things this morning, we can help you in that or study further with you as well. If you're a child of God, ask yourself the question, as we've studied this morning, am I truly living as a friend of Christ? And if not, do I need to be restored? And if you do, we can help you as we stand and sing.